This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kate.
Kate.
Rachel. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. What's going on?
Not much, you know, living the dream here in Wichita. Yeah, so we had a fun wedding this past weekend with some of my friends from high school. One of my friends from high school got married to one of my friends from college. So just seeing a lot of patients this week, diagnosing a lot of disease, getting a lot of people seeing better. It's been good.
I love that. Well, I went to a wedding too. It was amazing. I saw a lot of people from optometry school. That was a lot of fun.
Because this wedding was for our third co-founder of you.
Yes. Congratulations, Heather and Audrey. We wish you all the best.
We love you both.
We love you both so much and are just so excited for your life together. Anyway, we missed you, Kate. We wish you could have been there.
It was hard. It was hard because like we had three weddings and only so much time off and we were like helpers in this wedding. So we just couldn't be like, it was hard.
Yeah, you had a job to do.
Yeah, I tried to convince Heather to move her wedding date, but she said she said it was a little too late when all of this started happening.
So. What? Why?
I don't know. She said that she couldn't move it 6 months in advance, you know? As much as I tried.
What's for lunch today?
Am I glad you asked? Because I have just really wanted to have some salad lately for lunch, you know?
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because, like, you don't always crave salad, you don't always want it, but you got all this good stuff in there, and it's good for your body, and your mind, and your heart, and your soul, and once you start eating it, you're like, this is delicious, this is amazing, and afterwards, you feel so good, and like you could take over the world, and so I feel like we should have some salad today.
Okay, I will have the salad, and what is the salad?
Oh, man. Yes, let me explain the metaphor more intensely. we're going to talk about mental health.
Yay.
It's not always something that we want to talk, we crave and we want to talk about. But then once we start looking into it, like, this is good stuff. And then you talk about it and we just make some noise and it feels good. And mm-hmm. You realize there's not much stuff to like worry about and it makes you feel better afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad that we're delving into such an important topic because I mean, it's always in the news.
Yeah.
And it really pertains to healthcare industries. Like there are a lot of healthcare providers who are feeling burnt out and like they are having poor mental health and are depressed and it's something that can be addressed.
Yeah. No, and I mean, just recently, I think what hit home the most is it was recently came out that Kate Spade committed suicide. And it's really hard because she grew up in Kansas City and just kind of started her business there. And just like, I mean, I guess, you know, like I've owned her purses and I had one of her quotes on my wall for a long time that inspired me. And I know Rachel will share a similar story, but like I suffer from anxiety and depression. And so having her, you know, kind of those sayings, it was like, you can do anything. And it just broke my heart that it broke me to pieces more she didn't have enough help to be able to help her get through a mental state that she needed to get through and that she wasn't able to find a better way to help herself. And that just broke my heart.
Yeah. It's a shock when someone dies by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what's going on in a person's life. It can look fine from the outside, mm-hmm. but you don't know what a person's going through.
No. So Rachel, what has impacted you the most lately with mental health?
Well, lately I've been feeling very good about the mental health steps UMSL has been taking for the students because, second year for me, I know my mental health was pretty bad. I got really, really depressed. And it wasn't because it was hard, because optometry school is always hard and it's supposed to be hard, but it's supposed to be hard in a way that makes sense, in a way that gets you toward your goal. It's not supposed to be hard in just like an arbitrary way. And the things that I was going through felt needlessly stressful and just weighing on me. And I felt like my mental health was really not good second year. And UMSL like really stepped up and mm-hmm. has been promoting wellness within our College of Optometry. There's a new wellness committee. Mm-hmm. We're really focusing on providing programming for students. Like, we have a service animal come, what do you call those?
Yeah, service animal, a therapy dog.
A therapy dog. A therapy dog comes every once in a while, and that's always really great. Mm-hmm. We've had meditation sessions available to us from the health department, or not health department, what do you call that? Health and wellness counseling.
Counseling services.
And they've made the counseling services available to us. And UMSL counseling services are really, really great. They have like a little oasis in the counseling department where if you don't want to talk to a counselor, you can just go in there and relax in a massage chair for a while.
And just be able to take care of yourself some.
I sit on the wellness committee uh-huh. and, or I did, gosh, I'm a fourth year now, so I guess I don't. But when I did, we had a really wonderful presentation from Dr. Slavin, who really revolutionized health and wellness within the med school at St. Louis University. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell you some of the things he told us, because like I started crying during his presentation. It was so good and hit so close to home with me considering school-related stresses. Mm-hmm. And he said, you need to consider the stress and anxiety and depression that medical students and other healthcare professional students feel as an environmental health problem. And he said this thing, when you take a canary into a coal mine and the canary dies, it's not a problem with the canary, it's a problem with the mine. So if we students are suffering from these mental health issues and we're the canaries and it's happening to all of us, it's not, the problem's not necessarily with us and us not being tough enough. It might be that there are other environmental conditions that are causing these mental health problems. And some of the things that he brought up was unnecessary stressors. He recommended if we could, through our curriculum, just get rid of unnecessary stressors like busy work and like extra pop quizzes and things like that, where kids are not kids, but students are like on guard at all times. If you can eliminate unnecessary stressors, if you can teach in a way that's not stressing people out unnecessarily, that will help. And if you can give students the ability to deal with stress, if you can increase that ability, it will really help. And one of the ways that he mentioned helping students feel better about the schoolwork is helping students find meaning in their work. You have to tell them mm-hmm. the why of what they're doing, not just the how. So some of the changes that they implemented at their med school that, I mean, they did the research, they figured out that these changes helped and students became much happier, much less depressed, much less anxious. Mm-hmm. They implemented pass-fail for the first 2 years, so you weren't worried about grades. They still had grades for the last year so that like you could match with residencies and stuff like that. They did some resilience and mindfulness curriculum. Every other week they had one free day off school. They tracked depression mm-hmm. and anxiety throughout the students' time at the campus. And they focused on support in the run-up to big exams like boards. And the resilience that they were training was mindfulness, which we had a little, we had a meeting on with counseling. That was really great. And metacognition, I guess, is just thinking about thinking, recognizing, okay, I'm having a thought that is not going to lead me in the right direction. And you can just think, okay, I'm having this thought. I recognize it. Mm-hmm. What can I do about it?
That was such a really great exercise for us. Like, I know you and I were both at that meeting and I didn't realize how much I needed just to kind of be with myself. Mm-hmm. And I started, after that, I started doing yoga. Tried to do every day, but now it's probably, honestly, I can say I haven't done yoga in a while, but when I was in school, and especially before boards, it was probably every other day, every 3 days, that I was able to be with myself and using my body and being with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I was doing those things, I was able to see where maybe my thoughts were taking me down a path that I shouldn't have gone down. And I was able to kind of recenter. I mean, I'm a very faithful person. And so like prayer was important to me and I got to use that time for that. And like, that was really big. And also it gave me time to think about, okay, how can I calmly and effectively achieve my next task?
Yeah.
Like before boards and looking at all my notes and all the things I had to do and the to-do list I had, it was mm-hmm. overwhelming. And so I always felt bad or after I did yoga or I took some time to just breathe. I would take walks. That was really great too.
I think before boards, okay, so at that mindfulness meeting that we had with the counseling department at UMSL, they recommended some meditation apps. And one of them, I think, was called Breathe, or maybe Let's Breathe or something Breathe. That's a red app that I got on my phone. And it was awesome because, like, in the 2 days before boards, I thought I was going to have a full-on mental breakdown. I was having, like, low-grade, like, panicky sensations. And I've never been a person who's said to myself, I think I'm having a panic attack. But the day before boards, I for sure texted Kate and was like, I think I might be having a panic attack. Like, it was like really, really stressful. But that meditation app helped, I thought, because like just to sit and not even think, just to be quiet for a little while and recognize that my problems were the next day and that my problems weren't now. And now is my whole life. And if I just stay in the present, then I don't have any problems. Like that day, at least. I mean, some days I have problems in the present, but not that day.
Yeah. I think we both, that was such a stressful moment. And I've been through counseling and it has been, so Rachel and I both have, and I mean, I think both of us, Rachel, I was very depressed for a long time. And Rachel was the one that was like, Kate, you're like avoiding going to counseling. Like, just do it. Like, here's the card.
Well, because counseling is so good at UMSL. Yeah. It's just like, I go, I mean, they're just great. They make you feel so much better because they're a sounding board for you.
Yeah, I think in general, counseling is something that just gives you an opportunity to talk to a third party that's trained on how to handle situations and think through things and just, like, attack things in a different way, because our minds turn into like one track. Like, my mom has always said, your mind believes what it hears. And like, when it's saying the same things over and over and over and over again, and you're saying these things to yourself, it's hard to break that cycle. But when you get that third party in there, which is you, your mind, and then the therapist, you're wondering how it got to this equation. It's been great. And I mean, Evan and I went to premarital counseling, which most people do, like they do premarital things. And I can tell you that just was like, I mean, that was awesome for the two of us. And it wasn't like we were having issues and we were fine, but it helped us in a way that I didn't know we needed it. And I think that's, and so in my counseling session, we talked a lot about like how boards felt like it was life or death. And we ended up talking about how boards felt like a bear and that was going to eat me and it really needed to look like it was a bunny. And it's just things like that, that I think the mindfulness helps with, and having a counselor that can help you put words to that mindfulness exercises that you're going through. Or if you want to pray about things, like putting words into prayer for that. Or if you want a journal, helping you just kind of be able to take all these things going on in your head and putting it down. I mean,
that was so good because you brought up a list of safety thoughts and you showed it to me. And so I wrote up a list of safety thoughts because it was like, they said, you're going to be having these danger fight or flight thoughts during this test. So you need to have banked some safety thoughts that you can go to. And so when I got to the test, and you know, you have that dry erase board, I immediately wrote down my safety thoughts on the dry erase board. Cause it was like, I'm going to need to come back to this. Oh, and I sure did. My safety thoughts were like, you're already a valuable person, like things like that. Like,
no, mine says literally you will be alive after this test.
Yeah.
Like, that was how basic this was. And I called my mom and my husband and Evan and like several people after the test. And I was like, I'm alive. Like, I was so excited because like I achieved my safety thought. Like, I didn't care if I passed boards. I just like was alive still. And I know that seems so simple and just like small, just to think like, okay, I'll still be living after this. Like, nothing is going to come after me. And like, I'm not going to die because of this. But man, I needed that halfway through that test, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, several things in life. There's been so many things in life where I'm like, I'm breathing, I'm living, we're good. Like, we're at a basic level of just accomplishing something, of just surviving.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I have to thrive in this moment. I just need to survive this moment.
I think that's great. And, you know, it comes back to how we talk to ourselves. So another thing that Dr. Slabin was saying is about cognitive restructuring. So he was saying, he was really smart. He's amazing. You should have him come talk to you at your optometry school or at your office. You should just have him come talk to you. I really like this guy. I don't know him. He does not sponsor this podcast. Okay. Cognitive restructuring. He was saying there's an adverse event and that adverse event plus your cognitive / emotional reaction leads to the outcome. And you can have distortions in the outcome of an event based on how you talk to yourself about it and how you perceive it and what your emotional reaction is. And so he was saying, whenever you talk to yourself, you need to notice what you're saying, label it, and dispute it if it's wrong, because you shouldn't have a double standard when talking to yourself. He was saying, oh my gosh, this made me almost cry. But it's like, I would never say the things to you that I'm willing to say to myself. Like, I would never say those things to another person. So I shouldn't have that double standard. Like, I should only say kind things to myself. And so he was saying to think about three good things about yourself, cultivate positive emotions, and really invest in the well-being of yourself and your students and your employees, because it's not well-being versus productivity. It's productivity because of well-being. So you need to invest in the well-being of the people around you and yourself. Especially yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, they say that, oh, sorry.
No, you're good. You continue. You're on a roll, girl.
They say self-care is activism, because like we can be out there fighting for the things we're passionate about. And I know you and I both are always passionate about something, and we're always like trying to improve things
this is very true. Very true.
So we're trying to make the world a better place minute by minute. But sometimes you can't do that if you don't take care of yourself. And it's even taking a break from the action to care for yourself. That's still action. Mm-hmm. That's still a positive action. Go to the therapist, go for a jog, do some yoga, take some time for yourself. Just be quote unquote selfish, even though it's not selfish at all, because it recharges you and you can do more good.
Mm-hmm. When we were kids,
Your mom is a genius, first of all.
She is. So my family, I have a brother that's bipolar, and I have another brother with ADHD, and my dad has ADHD, and so my family has just, we've done group therapy before, and we're a therapy family. So I've always seen the benefits of it and never the stigma. And so I think that was a shift when I went to college. But when we were little, my mom wanted us to really be kind and smart and good kids. So she talked about like buckets and how you have to fill a bucket. So if you want to really make somebody feel good, you need to fill their bucket, because sometimes you have to take stuff out of their bucket. Like my mom says, I'm going to fill up your bucket. So sometimes when I have to ask you to do something hard, I'm going to take out of your bucket, you're going to be so full, it's not going to feel hard. But when you have nothing in your bucket, you got no water, you don't have anything, it's hard to take stuff out. And I mean, it's oversimplified to almost mean like, if you aren't full and you don't feel happy and good, like how are you supposed to give anything? Like if you have nothing left for yourself, even, how are you supposed to give anything to anybody else?
Oh, that's good.
We should have my mom on this podcast, you know?
Yeah, she gives good advice. That's some good stuff.
She's a smart lady. Yeah, except it'd probably just be me and her bickering the whole time.
Well, you can do a you and your mom podcast. I'll do a me and my mom podcast, and we'll just talk about whatever we feel like, because my mom's good too. Hey, what up, mom?
Or what if our moms just did this? That would be hilarious. Okay, sorry, continue.
Second year, I felt like my bucket was empty. I was... I was like in a really bummed out place, because it was like
the worst.
It was just the worst. It was simply the worst. Everything was terrible. And I just couldn't get out of this funk. And then, I did. I think because I talked to people.
Rachel, I so agree that second year is the worst. And I think the hardest thing was our buckets weren't being filled by, I think, the people that were important to us, like our faculty and our staff for a little bit, just didn't understand what our feelings were. But then once they did, there was a huge turnaround. And I just like, that was awesome. I think there was also some things where, as much as it was the worst, it was not a good time. I learned so much. I learned so much about like the person I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that's like hard to talk about with mental health, is that just because we have parts of our life that are hard and we are anxious, we are depressed, we have manic times, we have depressive times, mm-hmm. like anything that goes along with mental health, I think the hardest thing is realizing that it is okay to have those moments and accepting that that's okay to have that, as long as we're working to make sure that things are still improving and getting better. Because if we just let that sadness or depression or anxiety thoughts just be able to run us, I think that's where a lot of us run into issues and get really upset and just struggle with things, is not allowing us to also have those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a part of who we are as people. It's okay to be just bummed out and sad and depressed sometimes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be all the time, but accepting those moments and saying, this is a day where I need to do this. And tomorrow I'm going to get better. I mean, my brother has done that a lot. And he's like, you know what? Today sucked and tomorrow's got to be better. But I have to deal with the suck today of just letting it suck. And then we make it better. And I think that's a hard thing about mental health, is sometimes remembering that we're human and don't have to be like superheroes all the time, even though we want to be.
Okay. So if you're in the position where you're feeling great about yourself and you have employees or students under you, and it seems like everything's fine with them, it seems like they're doing great, you don't know. Mm-hmm. You really don't know, because of course they're going to act like everything's fine to you. You pay their paycheck. You give them grades. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know what's going on in their lives. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we make a commitment to, if we can, improve the environmental health of the people around us, if we can, by eliminating unnecessary stressors mm-hmm. from people's lives, and help, like, if you are an employer, making available some resources about mental health, allowing your employees to take time off if they need to go to an appointment, and not giving them a hard time mm-hmm. about that kind of thing, or making sure that their insurance benefits cover mm-hmm. mental health and things like that, because it's really important. And if you value productivity, you need to value wellness.
Yeah. No, and I think also being able to create an environment where you allow people to come to you with issues. And if they're feeling low and down, allowing the environment around you and the place where you work to be a positive one, where mental health isn't stigmatized,
mm-hmm.
Is so important. And also encouraging people around you, and in taking time yourself to talk to your doctor. If you are feeling these ways, there are medications and things to help that aren't a terrible thing.
Absolutely.
I don't know what I would do without my anxiety medication mm-hmm. most days. And, you know, encouraging, and maybe you yourself going to a therapist, because it doesn't hurt to get a couple sessions in, because you learn so much.
Yeah, and it's like make hay while the sun shines, that expression. I think about it all the time. I don't know totally what it means. I assume you need to make hay while the sun shines, because it would really suck to make hay while it's raining. Anyway, if you're feeling good, go to therapy. Oh, you're going to explain this to me?
Yeah, so let me explain to you some agriculture. Yeah, so I live next to, right now, a cornfield and a hayfield, so I can tell you this firsthand. So when it rains, you bale the hay.
Okay.
You get a big baler, and that's when they roll them up into big, like, circles,
uh-huh.
you know?
I've seen those.
You see them, and they're all lined up throughout fields. Yeah, so you need the sun to dry it out, because
okay.
you need it to turn into – it's not hay at that time. It's a type of grass. It's like a – it's hay, but it's not eatable hay yet. So you need to roll it up and dry it out.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why they like sit out in the sun for forever until they turn that like brown. So when it rains, it gets moldy.
Mm.
So you got to make hay while the sun shines, because if you make hay when it's raining, if you roll that up when it's raining, if you start baling hay when it's raining, you're going to get mold in the center and it's going to go bad. Or if you store it where it's wet, it's going to, and in the rain, it's going to go bad. But if you make hay when the sun shines, it's going to dry it out and it's going to be good. So, yep. Agriculture. So this is what my friends call it. It's hashtag ag chat. So, yeah, if you need any more, have any questions about anything, give me a holler if I don't know. I have a lot of friends that do. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, anyway, the reason you should make hay while the sun shines, as far as I'm concerned, is because you don't know when you're going to need the lessons that you learned in therapy or the good thoughts that you've banked. So do it all in a day that you're feeling great, and just start now. Start now, even if you don't feel bad, because you don't know when you'll need it. Because eventually things happen. I don't wish that on you. I'm not trying to add unnecessary stress to your life. No. But if you need it, I want you to have it.
Mm-hmm. Having tools in your tool belt isn't a bad thing. So I 100% agree.
So I think it's important that leaders really set a good example for not just their employees, not just their students, but also their patients. If you're taking care of yourself, if you're taking your full lunch break, if you're investing time in your personal life, if you're cultivating relationships with others, if you're valuing your own mental health, then you're gonna rub off on others. These are valuable qualities. It doesn't just have to be work, 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 work. If you have time to lean, you have time to clean. It can be, if you have time to lean, just like be still for a moment. Like take a moment to yourself.
But if you need to clean something to help your head, that's okay. Like
if cleaning helps you, hey, do it.
It does. It does for me. So that's why I don't want to cut other cleaners off. There's a sense of satisfaction of seeing a clean bathroom.
Absolutely. Not for me, but...
I just like seeing the dirty to the clean. I don't know. And if you find something that has like satisfaction for you, like let's say you like to go running, and I did for a long time. That was kind of my release. Like do that. If you like to cook, do that. If you like to paint or sing.
Watch a full hour of Dr. Pimple Popper videos. Do that.
Oh, yes. Please do that, everybody. And just enjoy. Man, that is what got me through boards.
Yeah.
It is so satisfying.
It's like cause and effect in real time.
Yes. 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 And it just like, it's so nice to see people's skin just get healthy.
That's hilarious.
So also another perk about you going to therapy when you're baling hay in the sunshine is that it also shows other people that it's not bad to go.
Right.
Sometimes it's easier to do things when you know somebody else that's gone through it, or you have like a resource that says like it's not scary and bad, and like therapy is not scary and bad. So if we can be that resource for you that says like going on medication, talking to people, like saying I'm not okay isn't a bad thing. It's such a great and helpful thing to just be like, I need something here and I don't know what, but I need help.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, you get to help somebody else in that moment and just helped show people that it's not the end of the world and it is good. And sometimes it's more of a help for somebody else to know that you've gone through therapy than it is for yourself. Or it's more of a help for somebody else to know that medication's helped you. Or it's better when you tell people that you've talked to people about this before and sometimes you struggle with this. And, you know, it sucks. Sometimes just agreeing that it sucks is what you can do, because that's what you need. Like when you get broken up with, you don't want to say, oh, everything's fine and you are better off without them. Like those thoughts are great and those words are helpful to hear, but you're like, just sucks right now still. And somebody just sitting there in the suck with you is kind of good. I said suck a lot.
No, but it worked.
Yeah. It just is. I don't know a better way to kind of describe it. And there are moments when you just want somebody to say, yeah, it does. And like you say, I just want to complain and I want somebody to agree with me. Even if you don't, just agree with me for a little bit. Just having somebody, it's just so helpful.
I just want to make sure that anybody who's not feeling well right now is able to get the help that they need. And so I just want to throw up some real quick helplines. There is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. I'm certain there are other resources available in your area. It's just a Google search away. If you need to talk to someone today, please do it. I want you to know that I care about you. Kate does too. We want the best for you.
Definitely.
And I hope that there's something you can take away from today.
And if you are, there are options of online therapy and text therapy if going to a therapist isn't something that you desire. Also talking to your general care doctor is always a great place to start. I have no doubt that a majority of time they have gone through it themselves or know somebody, especially in medical school professions like we've talked about. There's some places like Talkspace or BetterHelp.com that just both have do online therapy. So if that's something that you know is going to fit into your life better, you going in person is awesome. But also, I know that doesn't work for everybody, or you don't want you work weird shifts or life is different. And so don't just let, you know, going to a place stop you from getting the help you need.
Well put. Kate, what are your takeaways and action items?
I'm going to do some yoga tonight. I'm realizing that I miss it. Like after us talking about it, I kind of miss doing some yoga.
I think that's great.
What about you?
I'm going to take some time alone to myself and just be quiet. You know what? I haven't read in a really long time, and I used to read it all the time. I really love this book. It was called A New Earth. And this was like before I decided to go to optometry school, and I just thought it was so good. And I wonder if I would still think it's good if I read it again. But it was all about like being in the present and different ways to think about the way that you think and all that kind of stuff. So maybe I would read that again. I wonder if I have it somewhere around this apartment in the state that I can't name.
That sounds, hey, let's see.
But otherwise, I'm just going to sit down and be quiet.
Yeah, that's a good plan. That's a good plan. Take some time to yourself. And then, so I think my takeaway is the same thing. I think those like takeaways and action items, I mean, in mental health, sometimes they're the same thing. So Rachel, tell us about the research.
Oh, the research is complete. Okay, so many of you wonderful optometrists have responded to the survey that Kate and I put out from the United Optometrists Association and researchers at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. We were investigating optometrist compensation by location, demographic, and practice type. And we have a ton of data that we have sent to the man himself, one, Dr. Carl Bassey, the greatest professor of all time.
What up, Bassey?
He's the greatest. So anyway, he is currently analyzing that data. If you responded to the survey, everyone was put into a drawing, and then we randomly drew the names, and four people have won the prizes, and I mailed them out today from a Staples where the woman was not thrilled. But you know what? It was probably a really hard day for her, and I'm very sorry that I had to send four different packages to four different places.
That's awesome.
And none of them were prepaid. But you know what? They're on their way to you, so get excited. By the time this podcast comes out, you will have your items. And by the time the next podcast comes out, we may have some results from the data so we can know what you should be getting paid, how much you should ask for at your next job, how much you should ask for a raise, what benefits your neighbors are getting, what benefits you should be getting, what's the value of those benefits, a million questions we can answer.
And
that's it.
Another thing with the kind of like the wage gap in negotiating and those kind of things, somebody from our Defocus Media podcast, Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, just put out an awesome article about negotiating, and it talks about social costs. And at a later date, we'll talk about that more, but it's a really awesome article. If you go to Defocus Media's or Idolatry Blog's Instagram or Facebook pages, you'll be able to find it there. It's a really awesome resource if you need something to hold you over in the meantime.
Dr. Lyerly and Dr. Glover are just the best.
Yeah, you guys should be friends with them if you're not yet, because we're friends with them, and I don't know how. They're so cool.
Yeah, they're really cool and really helpful. Kate, what's going on with you at optometry's meeting?
Yeah, definitely. So if you just want to hang out at all at optometry's meeting, I will be around. We're doing some stuff with Johnson & Johnson and Essilor and a lot of really cool places of just getting to spread out the word of Defocus Media, as well as get to talk about some of those tough topics. I am super excited for the Spirit video. So
Me too.
You guys listen to that podcast, episode 4, just get excited, because it's like 2 weeks away from us seeing it, and I kind of like really didn't want to see it yesterday. So
I'm excited for you.
Yeah,
it's gonna be amazing.
That's kind of where we are for Optometry's meeting.
Ah.
So we have some big news when it comes to social media. We decided to have an Instagram page. You'll find the link to that in our attached article here. You can also look up Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate. We just felt like we just needed another platform to kind of talk to everybody with.
You need to see our faces more often.
Yeah, we shower now more on a frequent basis, so we would like to just like share that with you.
I want to show it off.
I don't shower for nothing.
No.
I have to do my hair too many times a week for us not to. All right. So we'll see you next time.
Until next time. Bye. Bye-bye.